Renewing your mind isn't about forcing yourself to, in air quotes, just think positive. It's about this partnership with God to notice, name, and replace lies with truth. I don't know about you, but I remember really early on in my walk and even into my walk, people would say, just renew your mind. The Bible says to renew your mind, just renew it. And I know that they probably meant well. You know, you need to change your thinking. You need to look at this differently. But I just didn't understand at the time any kind of process about my thoughts, my thinking, my emotions, my feelings. Everything just kind of felt like one. And I never knew what it looked like to really renew my mind and work through negative thoughts. I was a pretty negative person, I think, and I didn't realize it until somebody actually called me out on it, and it was eye-opening and hurtful. But at the same time, I realized I couldn't see it. And so I embarked on this journey to renewing my mind. So I've been there with you. If you have struggled to understand it, I get it. So today I'm just going to break down some things that hopefully feel just real. And you guys know, or if you're new here, welcome. I love practical and that it's rooted in scripture. Before we get into today's really meaty part is I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for leaving a 5-star rating and a review. It helps so much for other people that stumble upon the podcast to just learn about it. But most importantly, honestly, I'm just grateful that maybe you found me at a 3 a.m. scroll where you just couldn't sleep, or maybe you found yourself really wrestling with something, you know, on a particular topic that I've addressed. And so thank you for following the podcast. It's really you being here and just the support, whether you have bought my course, Untangle Your Thoughts, or, you know, I work with you one-on-one as a coach. It all helps my ministry and the business that God has called me to. And it's also been a reason why I don't have ads on the podcast, because my goal is to bring clear, concise information in these packed little 15-minute segments. So again, just thank you for your 5-star rating and review. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for the support. And most importantly, even if you're new here, there are two ways that we can work together. Or maybe you've been around and you don't know. But the first one is, if you want to do something on your own pace, pick up my Untangle Your Thoughts self-paced course today, because really, this is not about more information for you. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. I broke it down into such simple, powerful tools to really help you reframe and renew your thoughts to get to the root of your beliefs about yourself, others, and God. And the second thing that you can do is book a 20-minute free consultation with me if you are ready to work one-on-one with somebody. Head to the link in the show notes to either get the self-paced course or book a free 20-minute consult. Okay, again, thank you for being here. Now let's get to the meaty part of this. I think sometimes when we hear renew your mind, which is from Romans 12:2, it can kind of feel impossible almost, right? When negative thoughts keep coming. And I got to say, there are a lot of things that play into negative thoughts, whether it's unresolved trauma, you have, you know, experienced complex trauma, or what some might say is complex PTSD, or just, you know, whether it's small T or big T trauma, these emotions and feelings that have begun or changed pieces of your identity of what you thought to be true. And sometimes it's hard to address them and to say, okay, I'm going to renew this thought. I'm going to renew this negative thought. It sounds like really easy in this like almost 5-step process. Well, there is steps that we take. And as I'll get to, without getting ahead of myself, it does come through repetition. But for me personally, I had to learn to not fear my own thoughts and to not live my life from a place of fear. See, the way I was raised, the promises I made to myself, I talk about this in my course and with my one-on-one coaching clients because it's so, so important. the promises that you've made to yourself, they matter. Because what I've noticed recently is that those promises may have kept you surviving, but they have kept you from living now. So I had to realize that a lot of my actions were based on fear. And I had to learn to switch from being fear-led to recognizing who I am in Christ. And instead of allowing fear to convince me I was powerless, I had to remember Christ in me and the power to tear down anything that comes against me that is not true. When negative thoughts come, you might not even realize the thoughts that are there because we've played them so many times. We don't even realize how they're making us feel or making us live in the world. But sometimes we become afraid to even address them. What happens if I start to say, I'm not going to take this anymore? Then, this is what I see in a lot of the lessons and things that I teach in my coaching practice is I just see that when we start to see how God sees us and how he really created us, more things come into play. Because then we start to realize we don't want to deal with this negative person anymore. So now we have to learn to set boundaries. So coming back, I had to learn to not fear my own thoughts. But in the end, if I had to sum it up, I had to remember who I was in Christ. When fear comes and that negative loop starts looping, I had to not let the negative loop control me, and I had to control the loop because I had to remember, oh, I'm not powerless here. So again, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We live in that tension of the negative thoughts, the renewing of our mind, and it's something that's important is renewing means it's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time event. It takes so much repetition, but not only repetition, it takes practice. That's why in scripture we see it over and over again, these references that we are an athlete or that we are a soldier, because there is training that's involved to be an athlete and a soldier, and there's repetition in that. They do a lot of the same things over and over and over. You think of a basketball player just standing at the free throw line. He doesn't just shoot one basket to practice. It is repetition. It is thousands of times that he is shooting that basketball to get it into the basket, to train his body, to train his mind over and over, what that feels like with the correct form. We have to recognize that if you combat the lie with the truth and it comes back, it's not that you failed. You didn't fail. 2 Corinthians 10:5, this is where I tie into that. Take every thought captive. Again, I'll link that so that you have that and you can piggyback off of it. But God's not expecting perfection. He invites this partnership, and we then have to realize that we have probably thought so negatively for so long that it has created like highways and highways of just negative thinking. And here you are with this, you know, truth thought, and you have a machete and you're trying to clear a path in the woods. It feels hard. It feels uncomfortable. The negative thought might come, but we have to keep meeting it. We have to keep meeting it with the truth so that one's path in the woods with your machete starts to become a dirt path and it becomes bigger. Then while that multiple lane highway becomes smaller, God created our brains and bodies to change and to adapt based on how we're leading it. So the first thing you want to do is just notice it without condemning yourselves, because I really truly believe in a lot of the women that I work with one-on-one, or even when I see and they email me and we connect that they've gone through my self-paced course, of the shame that they've had for having negative thoughts. And that doesn't do us any good, does it? Because honestly, it just keeps us having negative thoughts. And I always say the first step is really awareness. I was really good at living in survival mode. And next week, make sure you follow the podcast, so hit follow now. But next week, I'm going to be doing an episode on survival mode, like what it means, how to tell if you are. I know it's sometimes a buzzword, but maybe I can break it down so you really fully understand what it looks like. But I was really good at it, and I can be, I should say. I'm in this process. I'm always in the process. I'm with you. But my body was really good at feeling everything, and my mind was good at suppressing it. So what I mean is my body would feel tired, fatigued, unmotivated physically. And then, but my mind was good at suppressing it. So I'm like, I am not really thinking anything. It's like this denial within myself almost. But once my body started to feel some safety, and that means that all this energy that I had stored from past trauma, past pain, thinking I had dealt with it, it wanted to come up and it wanted to be released. And it was scary to work through some of those negative intrusive thoughts, especially as they were coming up. But I had to learn again not to fear them so that my body could relearn to not be afraid, which meant I couldn't shame myself for having them, but I could meet them. I could take them captive and I could speak truth to them as I let them go. And when I say let them go, I want you to picture a couple of different things, whether it's you're putting it on a leaf and watching it go down the river, you're putting it on a balloon and watching it fly away, you're seeing it on a cloud and letting it pass. There are these visualizations that you have to work through with the Lord. You can picture, you know, Jesus being in front of you and you're handing it over to him. And your body can physically feel the release because you are not ignoring the thought. You're not fearing the thought. You're meeting it without fear, shame, or condemnation. You're taking it captive and you're speaking truth to it. So you, most importantly, you want to notice it without condemning yourself. Oh, I shouldn't have thought that. Oh, what is wrong with me? Oh, if I had more faith, you know, all the things. The second thing is we want to name the lie, and sometimes we want to name the lie and trace the root. Sometimes we don't need to trace the root because sometimes lies just come and we have to let them go as soon as they come. Like, we don't have to entertain every thought. We can take, you know, scripture says, take every thought captive. So we take it captive. But what I mean is we don't entertain it. We don't try to make a story out of it. We don't always have to go, where did this come from? Because that's exhausting. And I'm learning that myself. Like, we don't have to have an answer to everything or fix it, but we can take it captive and let it go as we're speaking truth to it. So we can ask it, what is this thought saying? Where did I learn it? We can give ourselves permission for that if it's something that lingers and stays and it is almost repetitive. Maybe it's one of those ones like, I will always fail. I'm not enough. Some of those are a little bit more stickier and they hang around. But John 8:32 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of our identity. When we know that truth and we live from the place of identity, the strength, the power, that we have overcome, the one in me, right, has overcome the world and we become overcomers of the world. That truth alone can set us free from the bondage of the negative thoughts. So much of it comes back to how I see myself. Do I think I'm powerless? Because I'm partnering with the enemy. I'm giving him the power to say, no, I can't defeat this. Or am I saying, no, Jesus Christ lives in me and I don't have to be afraid of this because there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment, as Paul talks about. So if you are being tormented, that is not love. So we don't have to feed every lie. And the moment you realize it's not true, because oftentimes it's based on accusations, is when you can begin to speak the truth to it. So your brain and your body can learn a new story about it. Sometimes it is simply saying, the lie might be, I'm not enough. And in these moments, we have to speak truth to it. We have to be logical. This person might believe these things, but I know what God says about me, and I don't have to be enough, that he is enough in me. This person is allowed to have their opinion of me, but I believe what God says about me. And these are kind of general statements here. So you really want to be specific. I'm just kind of giving you an idea. And the third thing is replacing the thoughts with repetition in relationships. So neuroplasticity is just your brain's ability to rewire when you practice the truth. I talk about this with my one-on-one coaching clients and, you know, even again with those in my course, my self-paced course, is toxic positivity, where I can tell when they are trying so hard to speak the truth, but their heart just doesn't believe it. Like, I know that I'm going to be okay. That can be a truth, or I am okay can be a truth, but also you're denying this huge weight in reality of what you're carrying. We just like throw on like, God is good. It's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm working through something with one of my clients now, this kind of belief where, well, I can't change it. So what's the point of even dealing with it? And I get it. Like, if you can't change the situation, why not just move on? But the reality is we don't just move on. If we don't actually address the fact that we were hurt, that what happened was unfair and it made you angry and made you feel less than or anything, it just becomes another narrative that you live out and that we ignore and we think everybody is against us. It's just these spirals that take on from our pain if we don't address them. So this week, I want you to write down one negative thought that you keep replaying. I want you to think about how you can see it, not fear it, speak the truth to it, and let it go. Let it lose its power over you versus it controlling you. Let it lose that power over you. Don't let it control you. You control your mind and your body. Well, let me just say, you control your mind and your brain and your body begin to follow. But we have to integrate our mind with our body. When our body is communicating to us, we can't ignore that response. You might feel fear physically in your body. Address it. You don't have to fear it, but we do have to let it go and acknowledge it. Don't overwhelm yourself, but again, repetition. So again, notice, name, replace. And if you're tired of doing this alone and want help identifying lies, finding root causes, and renewing your mind daily, then this is exactly what I do inside of my one-on-one coaching. Or again, check out my self-paced course, Untangle Your Thoughts, where I address negative thoughts. I give you journaling prompts. I give you exercises. I give you tools. I give you step-by-step guidance. And the great thing is you can do it all at your own pace. You can head to the show notes and click on the link and you'll be able to get signed up right away. Until next time, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.